둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Okay, I'm here.
Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here to check out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. I do three new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. All the usual spots, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, it's Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, Red Circle, Audible, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Rita Wilson. We're going to be talking about her new album, Now and Forever, Duets. It's an album that finds her collaborating with folks like Elvis Costello, Smokey Robinson, Willie Nelson, Leslie Odom Jr., and many more on a playlist of some of her favorite songs from the 70s. Rita's going to tell us about what drew her to put the spotlight on that decade, flipping classics like Slip Sliding Away and Fire and Songbird and I'll Be There into conversations between two people, and what it was like to be on the opposite side, singing with some of the greatest artists of all time. Rita's also going to discuss the LP's connection to her 1995 movie Now and Then, and give us a peek into the upcoming Wes Anderson movie Asteroid City. All that and more, we're talking Now and Forever duets. It's Kyle Meredith with Rita Wilson.
Hi, how are you?
First off, let me say congratulations on this new record, Now and Forever. It's been such a fun listen.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy it's out. You know, it's like Christmas Day. You've been working on something for so long, and then you want to give the present. And so hopefully people will find it and listen to it and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fun. And let's, you know, for those who don't know, you've put yourself back in the 70s and it's a duets record. What was it calling about the 70s? I mean, do you see this as your coming of age period, your musical coming of age? Is that what it is?
Probably, but also that those songs still resonate. You know, I was thinking about why certain songs from certain periods endure and they stay with you and they still get covered and young people still like them. And you kind of like, why is that? And I think it's because it was really the birth and the emergence of singer-songwriters that came out of people writing for other people. If you look at like Carole King, who was writing in the Brill Building for so many people, and then she kind of came into her own as a singer-songwriter, Joni Mitchell, Jackson Browne, Crosby, Stills and Nash, you name it, they were out there. And they were singing from a very personal point of view. And the only, you know, like when I think of the Great American Songbook, which is, you know, amazing and classic, and those songs endure. And I'm like, wow, you know, those people were writing in many ways for Broadway musicals. And what was that about? Writing for a person who's singing from a personal point of view. So I kind of was finding this bridge connection in my mind of why those songs endure. And I think that's it. I have no idea. I'm not a music historian, so I cannot confirm if any of that is accurate.
I thought it was interesting, though. I mean, when you look at the eras, because what this comes on the 10th anniversary year, right, of AM/FM that you'd put out?
Yes.
And did that have anything to do with it?
No, it didn't. It was just, I'd always thought it'd be really fun to do a duets album. And I think I lucked out with the timing of being in the second year of the pandemic when we tracked it and recorded it, and people were still not touring and they were available to be part of the album. So that was kind of great. It kind of worked out well. Just happened to be the 10-year anniversary.
What attracted you to the duets parts? I mean, why did you want to do it that way?
Well, you know, if you're going to cover songs, you want to bring something to them that hasn't been said before or heard before. And these songs are classics, and so they've been covered a lot. But I had not heard any of them as duets except for Where Is the Love? And so to me, it was sort of like, okay, how do I reinterpret these songs as conversations then? You know, it's two people talking. What are they saying to each other? And what songs fit into that sort of template of, could this be a conversation between lovers? And if you take Songbird, for instance, that is a perfect song that could be vows. Like I imagine, like when I hear a song, I get pictures from them. I'm a very visual person. So I start making up a story in my head about what's happening. And in Songbird, I thought, these are two people, they've just made love and they are telling each other these beautiful words, almost like vows in a way. And so that's kind of where the story starts. It's like, oh yeah, that will work. Okay, I can see that picture in my head. And with Willie Nelson on Slip, Slide, and Away, that felt like two people that were in a very, very long-term relationship, knew each other very well, and maybe the one was speaking about the other. She's talking about a man, he's talking about a woman. And I just kind of thought that they were obliquely referring to each other in a way, saying it through lyrics as opposed to what they might say to each other in person.
What an interesting way to go back and re-listen to songs. I mean, these are the songs you've heard, you know, for 40, 50 years at this point, and to get that chance to go back. I mean, was it a big challenge then to sort of, because, you know, you're putting these, it goes from being a singular character to characters, and here are these people, and how do they fare?
Right. Well, and it was also sort of like, okay, you have different duet partners. So you're also looking at what story do they respond to? What resonates with them? And sometimes I would give them 3 to 5 songs to choose from and say, which one do you think, you know, you'd want to sing? And inevitably, it was usually the one that I would have wanted to sing with them, which was great. So there was something about the connection that was already being established. And adding like amazing voices, like the ones on this album, I think, you know, I've been asked, why didn't I sing their songs? But I think people sing their songs. So I thought it might be more interesting for them to sing other people's songs, but songs that also meant something to them too, you know, because it's really true that these songs, you know, when you know a song really well, you're carrying it with you from all your experiences and what that song meant to you and what the songwriters were experiencing when they wrote the song. And it's got its own history and its own life. So that's all of that is coming with that song when you sing it. So it's very, to me, very reverential. You know, I wanted to make sure that we were doing the songs, you know, proud and making them feel truthful.
Did you find that, you know, depending on who you were singing with, you know, as a vocalist, does that change how you even approach the song? Because, you know, you have like Elvis Costello. I love Elvis Costello. He is such a singular voice, such a unique voice. And he's got a lot of experience in these duets too, but that must have been very different than singing with Smokey.
It's, you know, what I learned through the whole process is that, first of all, you choose these people and you want to sing with these people because they are so unique and they do bring in you know, most cases, a huge history of performing and their own music and other music to the party. And what I loved about everyone and everyone's process was they approached it creatively and whatever felt truthful to them. Like when Elvis sings "And When We Kiss, Ooh Ooh Fire," he leaves out the ooh ooh and he puts all the desire, all the longing, all the intensity into the word kiss. And he holds it out for a really long time. And then fire is almost like exclamation point, you know? I love that. And with Smokey on "Where Is the Love," he brought all the Smokey with him, you know, all that gorgeous voice and that smoothness and that silkiness. And throughout the entire recording process, this is what was great. Everybody wants to do their best. Everybody wants to nail it the way they hear it in their heads. And nothing was taken for granted. And that to me was like, wow, everybody's in the same boat. You know, we all want that every time we do something that we love or we're singing a song, just like, really want to nail this. I really want to get it right. And everyone was doing that.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Rita Wilson. Well, you had mentioned Willie, and you all do "Slip Sliding Away." And I thought when I first heard it, I was like, how has he never done this song before? Because this, the way you all did it now, it sounds like this could have been a Willie classic. And maybe, you know, that's the genius of Willie Nelson on top of it. But
it is.
But what an incredible version. He loved that.
Well, I didn't know Willie, but my producer, co-producer Matt Rawlings, had worked with Willie on two albums. He won Grammys for Willie's Gershwin album and the Sinatra album. So he knew Willie. I knew that Willie loved Paul Simon songs and that they were friends. So in my research, I thought, is there a Paul Simon song that Willie has not covered yet? And this was the one. And so I was like, wow, that could be so great. And in the story, you know, just to hear Willie singing something like "The Nearer Your Destination, The More You're Slip Sliding Away" when he's almost 90 years old has a depth to it that is very powerful. And yet at the same time, Willie's probably going to outlive us all because he's so vibrant and, you know, amazing. But yeah, it was really just joyful. Every part of it was joyful.
25 years from now, we'll get the duets record between Willie and Keith Richards. That's
exactly. That's so true. And Mick will be doing harmonies.
Right. Now, do you take the chance? Were you able to reach out to Paul Simon, reach out to, you know, anybody from Fleetwood or something like that? Did you take those moments?
You mean as the writers of the song?
Yeah, I'd say, hey, I'm going to cover this. Like, I don't know who you're friends with or not.
I don't know Christine McVie. I didn't, but I, you know, researched the song and I was very much enthralled by her process for writing it. She said she woke up in the middle of the night with the song in her head, 3:30 in the morning, and she ran downstairs and she put it down, wrote the song immediately at 3 in the morning because she didn't want to lose it. And I just thought that was a beautiful, beautiful story and way to sort of write something. And with Paul Simon, I was able to let him know that I was covering that song with Willie. And I don't know if he's heard it yet. It would be, I'll have to see. I'll have to do some research and see if he heard it. But he's just, well, Paul Simon's a legend and an incredible songwriter.
Especially during the 70s. I mean, that's, you couldn't, and I could have said that about the 60s or the 80s too, or hell now, but but especially during the 70s. And you know, I just brought up Songbird. I'm so happy, by the way, that you chose that one. Always felt like that was the unsung hero on Rumors. I mean, because that album is so stacked.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
To go with that one.
Well, sometimes there's real beauty and power in simplicity as well, you know? And that was the thing on that song with Josh Groban. I just couldn't believe this, but when I asked Josh if he'd be interested in singing this with me, and I had sent him my track, my vocal track, he's like, I would love to do this. He said, thank you for asking me, because no one ever asks me to sing like this, because they have an expectation of what they want from Josh's voice. And in this, he's just so tender and so, I just love it. It's so intimate, you know?
Well, you know, seeing how you have tackled, you know, a little bit of the decade before this with AMFM, and you've, like, do you start thinking about that? Like, oh, I could keep this series going at this point. You know, what does the 80s look like?
100%. You could look at the 80s, the 90s, the aughts. You could keep going. You could go one artist. Like, I remember, I think it was Ryan Adams did one of Taylor Swift's albums, just covered the whole album. You know, I thought that was a fun idea. But no, like, if I'm lucky enough and this album does well, I would love to do a volume 2 of female duets, because that material would be really different. It would be very, what would the conversations be between two women? And that would be really fun to explore.
Oh, that's interesting. I do want to hear that.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Thank you.
I will say, and I'll take a second to, you know, to mix your careers here, because when I first heard the setup for this, you know, Now and Then is a huge movie around our house still. We watch it often, you know, at least yearly or whatever. I think it just pops up every now and then, and that's what we're going to watch. And to me, it's like, so this is sort of like the Now and Then chapter 2 to me, because of the era. It's like, I'm just going to let myself kind of fall into that world.
Well, it's so interesting that you bring up that movie, because that was one of the reasons why I covered I'll Be There, because I sing that, my character sings that song at the very, very, very beginning of the movie.
Right.
And I thought, oh, you know, that's kind of like a little, what do you call it? An egg, or, you know, whatever they call those things. Like, if anybody picks up on that. But I just love that song because, you know, the Jackson 5, they were incredible. And that song still, it's still beautiful. Like a friend of mine once said, good songs stay written, you know, that's a great song and it's not going anywhere. It's there. It's going to always be great.
We'll always be there. Yeah. Yes. And it sounds beautiful. The way your voice is perfect in all of these songs, by the way. I mean, it's just
Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's when they come in. I don't think they're easy songs for a lot of the time, but yeah. Anyway, just the compliments on that one.
Thank you.
And so what else is going on? I mean, I saw what you're going to be in. You're in the new Wes Anderson movie as well, right?
Yes.
How was that experience?
Oh, fantastic. He's so amazing to work with because he's very specific about what he wants. He's incredibly prepared, but he creates environments that are so familial and so comfortable and so supportive of the creative process that it does not feel like work. We shot that in Spain, and every night, because of the pandemic and still COVID and all the testing, all the actors stayed in one hotel. That also was where our dressing rooms were, and the set was about 5 minutes away on a golf cart. And every night we would have dinner under these gorgeous arbors on one of those long tables that looks like something out of an Italian wedding. And every night at 8 p.m., we'd all have dinner together. It was almost like being like in a traveling show or something, where they're like, we were a circus. And, you know, Wes was our leader and he never missed a dinner. And he's a person that's without cynicism. There's something just so pure about him, and he's an amazing talent, and I would work with him for anything at any time.
You know, we hear about those moments as fans where you're like, oh, if I could have been a fly on the wall to hear those conversations. Like, I can't wait for the stories to start falling out about those dinner conversations. That's hopefully so there's true. Some good ones.
Totally.
Well, I look forward to seeing that one when it comes out. And in the meantime, Now and Forever, again, this has been such a great listen. Rita, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
My thanks to Rita Wilson. The new album is called Now and Forever Duets. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, hit that subscribe button. Again, you get 3 new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All the usual spots, iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, Red Circle, Audible, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, really anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then, after that, head over to WFPK.org. It's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. An hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all 3 of them, at Kyle Meredith. That's the address, at Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I hope I didn't cut your time short.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.